Chofzaim Kislev, Gimel Chanukah, 15th of December, Rabbi Alan Kimchi, Nes Godol Hoyur Shom.
Hanukkah to everybody.
Amen.
And it's always a pleasure, a privilege to be part of this wonderful program. Rabotas Torah, Torah Way, Big Yashaker to this place of Medrash and to the organizers of the program. I'd like to have a closer look a little bit at the Nisim of Hanukkah, Sha'osa Nisim La'Vaseinu Bayom Nohem Bazman Azeh. What exactly are we referring to? And how are we to understand the different Ma'amori Chazal on this subject? Let me just start with something a little bit puzzling. There's a puzzling halacha brought down by the Prima Godim at the end of Tof Reish Ayin Gimel, where he speaks about the brachas that we make on the menorah. So we all know the brachas we make on the menorah, that on the first night we make Shachianu in addition to the other two brachas, but only on the first night. Says the Prima Godim that the Marshal who was the Gadol Hador in Krakow a couple hundred years before the Prima Godim, he would make Shechianu on the first night and then again on the second night. He would make Shechianu on two nights and not on the rest. I wish to say the Prima Godim that the Marshal would do that. Why would he do that? The Prima Godim says it's not a good idea to do it because it's Mechzek Yuhara. It's a bit sort of pretentious to make twice Shechianu, two nights one after another. But Hadoineinu HaMarshal, he writes, the Marshal who was such an overtowering Gadol Hador in earlier generations, he had the right to do that, but this is not something that one should generally practice. But what would be a Havamina? Why should one make Shechianu on the first night and on the second night and not on the rest? What could be? No, nothing to do with Sveika Diyom. Nothing to do with Sveika Diyom. Okay, so we're going to have a look a little bit more closely at the issue of the Nisim of Hanukkah. And, Rabbi, I'm only 2 minutes into the drasha. You're going to give me a chance to sort of get into the topic. I just mentioned this as an hors d'oeuvre. This prima godim is just the hors d'oeuvre. This is not even yet the soup, Rabbi. I haven't even yet gone to the soup. So in order to get into the soup, let me just have a look. There are several famous kashas on the Gemara, and one of them is the famous kasha of the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua on the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kaf Aleph asks this kasha, which actually had been asked beforehand, but not quite so powerfully as he asks it. So he asks, why did we ever need the nes of the Pach HaShemen? Why did we need to have a nes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should transcend the laws of nature and make a little bit of oil last for 8 days, a nes l'malam min ha-teva? Why did we need it? The basis of his question, he says, is a sugya in Yuma Davov Mebeis, which is the sugya of Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. The halacha is that if a person is Tomei, or if oil or karbonis are Tomei, it's an issur d'oraisa to use them in the mikdash, but that's only for a yochid. But if the tzibur as a whole is tomei, as was the case at this period in history, they were all tomei after the war, and all the oil was tomei, tumah hutra b'tzibur, you're allowed to go ahead and do the avodah in the base of mikdash with oil that is tomei. So why didn't they simply light the menorah with tomei oil and get on with it? More than that, he asks, I've got a better question. He says, oil was needed at the base of Mikdash, not only for the menorah, but mainly for Minachas. That's the Sovis Belula Bashamet. Where did they get the oil from if they were doing a Hanukkah Habayis to restart the Avodah of the base of Mikdash? They needed oil for Minachas. Where did they get it from? Right, they only had one little jug of Tahar oil. So he says, this is Pashut, right? Let me just give you a little bit of an insight into the Tumahutra B'tzibur issue. The truth is Machlokes Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman, Gemara brings down in Yuma above, that whether Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur or whether it's Dechuya B'tzibur. This issue of Hutra and Dechuya is actually a subject maybe for a separate shiur one day. It's one of the most wonderful Lomdisha subjects, which has many, many different applications in Halacha. Chas v'shalom, for example, somebody is a chaylish yesh bo sakana. So pikuach nefesh overrides lots of isurim. So for example, if someone is pikuach nefesh and the only food available is treifus, so we know that the pikuach nefesh overrides the issur of treifus. Dal pasha, everybody knows that. But what is the lomdus here though? There are two possibilities here. Do we say that it's dechuya, which means of course there's an issur treifus, this object is ham, it's bacon. It's obviously also, and the issa remains, only the mitzvah, pikuach nefesh, overrides it, and is more important to it, and it's more important. We used to say it trumps it. We don't use that word anymore, Rabbi Yosef. It doesn't trump it, it overrides it, Rabbi Yosef. So it overrides this, the issa of treifus is overridden by pikuach nefesh, but there's still an issa of treifus. Or you could learn a different lomdus. Not dechuya, but hutra. Hutra could mean the whole issa of treifus in the Torah was never said in a situation of pikuach nefesh. But the Torah says v'chai b'hem, and therefore that is a tanai in all the mitzvahs of the Torah, except for three, and therefore there is no issa treifus at all. Right? And therefore one can go ahead and eat the treifus, and the issa has completely disappeared. It wasn't there in the first place at all. This bacon is glat kosher. There'd be a nafka minna, various different. There are lots of nafka minnas in Hutra and Dechuya. Doctors have a big nafka minna on Hutra and Dechuya. For example, when Bikuach Nefesh Decha Shabbos, so you have Chas v'Shalom someone who's Chole Bikuach Nefesh, so you're allowed to do things to save his life. But what happens, you're looking after this Chole, and this particular procedure, I don't know, taking his blood pressure or giving him an injection or something, that is not Bikuach Nefesh. He could live without that. Are they allowed to do seemingly trivial procedures on a chola of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, a procedure which involves chilul Shabbos, or do they have to, at every minute along the way, do they have to check and say, is this procedure? The difference would be hutra and dechuya. The minute you say hutra, if you say that pikuach nefesh is hutra Shabbos, it means it's not Shabbos, it's Sunday. You look after this chola like you would look after him on Sunday, make no difference at all. That's hutra. And that stafka, the aside of that halacha comes from the Magid Mishnah on the Rambam, and most of the poskim follow the Hutra principle, but it's not so poshut, right? Well, dechuya means that every stage along the way, the doctor has to check, is this particular procedure mutra? So Hutra and dechuya is a very important tool in the concepts, in the Lomdisha concepts of Chazal, and that's a machlokes Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes about Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, Tumah Dechuya B'tzibur. Comes along the Pnei Yeshua, and he says, if you say Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, then the oil on Chanukah was mutter to use, completely mutter, was totally mutter to use, and therefore why did we need this nace at all? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu make a nace b'chino? There was no necessity for this nace. This nace was completely trivial in that sense. This is the akasha of the Pnei Yeshua, which takes us a little bit deeper into our understanding of the nace Chanukah. A little bit disappointing, really. We're all grown up in kindergarten thinking the Pach HaShemen lasts for 8 days, it burned for 8 whole days. Comes along one of the Gedolei Yisrael and says, who needed this nace? This nace was irrelevant. We could have managed very nicely without it. It's a bit disappointing, really, but nevertheless, such is life. Pnei Yeshua was one of the Gedolei Yisrael at a time when there were Gedolei Yisrael. In other words, at a time when there were, you know, the Vilna Gaon was in Vilna, the Baal Shem Tov was in Mezhibov, and the Chacham Tzvi was in Amsterdam, and the Nodav Yehuda was in Prague, and the Pnei Yeshua was in Frankfurt. And these were the Gedolei Yisrael, all lived together at the same time, at the beginning of the 1700s. But the Perush of the Pnei Yeshua and Shas is one of the most classic Perushim Achronim on the whole of Shas. And his kashas are certainly very incisive and enlightening. What is the answer that he gives? So he gives an answer, it was a bit surprising. He says, His answer is, Enoch Inami, the truth is, this nace was completely unnecessary. They could have inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash with oil that was tomei, and he says, taka for the minachas, they used oil that was tomei, that's pashut. For the oil, solis pelula b'shemen, when they wanted to bring minachas for the first 8 days, they used tomei dika oil, why? Tumah u'drupat sipa. So what's this all about, the nace? What's the nace of Hanukkah all about? So he's got a very, very beautiful, lashon, where he writes that he says that this was only, he says the ikah hanes, the nace of Hanukkah, right, was really the nace of the nitzachon, the nace of the victory of the chashmonaim, the makabim against the yavanim. That's vaday, that was the real nace. But he says, the menorah is edus li Yisrael shehashchina sheira bohem. The menorah is and always was a siman from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ever present in Klal Yisrael. And he wanted to show that this moment in time was an eis rotzon. I'm reading you the lashon of Pnei Yeshua, lahodia shechozru lechibosan harishon. It was an act of chibah. So you have an interesting concept here. Some nisim are done because Klal Yisrael need them. Klal Yisrael were in the midbar and they were starving. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them the man. The man was a solution to a problem. Okay? They needed to cross the Yam Suf. The nes came to solve the problem. So you think here as well, the nes came to solve the problem. There was no problem. There was no problem. They could use tomei oil and get on with the avodah of the Beis HaMikdash with the tomei oil. Tumah u'drupat sipa. The nes here was not that sort of nes. Different sort of nace. It was a nace laharois chibosan lifnei hamakom, to show the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had for Klal Yisrael, and that was a particular type of nace. And this is a very beautiful and I think inspiring idea, that actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu especially suspended the laws of nature in order to show that at this particular juncture there was a special ahava. Now I remember about 40 years ago when I was in the Miri Yeshiva, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, gave his weekly shmuzin, and I heard a shmuz from him, Negeah to Chanukah, and it's printed up in Sichos Musa, during the 70s, when I was there in the yeshiva, I had the zechus to hear his shiurim for several years, and one of the shiurim he gave was on this topic. And he didn't quote the Pnei Yeshua, as far as I remember, but he said, we find something similar, I want to show you a tzushtel, a comparison of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz to this idea of a nace which was a chibah. So he says, the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, speaks about the first appearance of David HaMelech, when he's not yet HaMelech, his first appearance on the scene for Klal Yisrael, is the fight against Goliath, right? The famous battle of David against Goliath. And what happens there is the whole of Klal Yisrael are shaking in their boots, and Goliath and the Pelishtim are threatening them with disaster. And Shaul HaMelech is scared out of his mind, doesn't know what to do. Steps up David, doesn't want any armor, doesn't want anything. He goes up to Goliath with a slingshot, and the story is well known. Everybody knows that story. Says the Pasuk, he uses this slingshot. The stone hits Goliath on his forehead, yeah, and kills him, right? Vayach es ha-Pelishti, and the Pasuk says, Vayipol al-ponov art, and he fell forward on his face. Says Rashi, brings out the Medrash, wait a minute, if you're facing someone, and he gets hit by his thing on his head, he's going to fall backwards, he's not going to fall forwards. So Rashi brings out the Chazal, brings out the Medrash. But, says Rashi, this was a nace. Why? Because the next thing David HaMelech had to do was to chop his head off. That's what he did. Chopped his head off and he showed it to Klal Yisrael in order to raise the morale. They shouldn't be afraid anymore of this monster. Right? So, says Rashi, in order that David HaMelech shouldn't have to walk the extra, he was 6 amas long in the Goliath. So had he fallen backwards, he'd have to walk an extra 12 amas. You understand what I mean? Yeah. It's like this, he fell forward right on his feet and he could chop him straight away. It was a nace. As I said, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, a nace? This is a moment of a Kiddush Hashem, a moment of Yeshua of Klal Yisrael, a moment where they got rid of the greatest enemy that they had. David HaMelech was worried about walking an extra 12 amas, right? How long does that take? 10 seconds, 15 seconds to chop off his head? What's the big deal? said the Shulchan Shulev, it said this was exactly the same thing as the Neis Pachashem. It was a Neis from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show the Chavivus of Klal Yisrael. It was completely unnecessary. But it was, Ruchan Shulev used the expression, it was a Neshika from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he said, Chai Shulev. You think only Hasidim say those things, right? Chai Shulev is an arch litvak, right? It was a Neshika from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't something which was necessary. And that is, I think, the best dugma. That's the best example of what the Pnei Yeshua means. Where the Pnei Yeshua says that even though Tumah Hutra Mitzibur and Klal Yisrael didn't need this nest, the nest took place in order to show the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Klal Yisrael had the same. We had the same nest in the Mikdosh with the menorah of Ne'er Maravi.
Yes, the Ne'er Maravi lasted all. And the Gemara asks, why was the nest of the Ne'er Maravi burning constantly? To show you the Hashchina Shoreh B'Yisrael. So he says here the menorah had been extinguished for so long, such a long time, and they had to rekindle it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show that the Shechina Shoreh B'Yisrael even now, Beis Ratzon, even now. This is the Pnei Yeshua's answer to this question. But I want to give you a second answer, which is the answer of the Maharal. The Maharal in Prague actually asked this question 200 years earlier in his Sefer Ne'er Mitzvah on Chanukah. He asked the question without the londas of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur Tumah Tuchuyibis. He doesn't go into that. But he says, that's poshet, he says, that the Ikka Neis of Chanukah is the Neis Nitzachon, the battle that was fought against the Yavonim. That's poshet, but that was the main thing. And the Neis of the Neirus, in a sense, was trivial. Forgive me, Rabbi, sorry. I forgot to turn off the. Okay, never mind. This. I'm learning how to use it. I'll get there eventually, but it's. I call upon him. So the Maharal asked this question. And he writes something different. He's got a different Mahalach, which I think is very beautiful, and which is picked up by later Mefarshim in a very, very, very interesting way. So the Maharal says, let's just talk for a minute about these two Nisim. One of the mysteries, actually, of Hanukkah is we've got very, very few Makoros in Kisvei Kodesh about Hanukkah, about what happened in Hanukkah. We don't, of course, there's nothing, of course, in the Tanakh, there's nothing in the Mishnah, and in the Gemara, there's a tiny, tiny little bit. And the tiny bit is in Masechta Shabbos of Kaf Aleph, where the Gemara asks, my Hanukkah, what was the story of Hanukkah? And what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, what was the great nace of Hanukkah? That when they went into the base of Mikdash and wanted to light the menorah, they found the Pach Shemen lasted for 8 days. Especially no mention of the military victory against the Yavonim. Doesn't mention it at all. Gemara in Shabbos, it's of Kilacha Yavitzel, Keshek Govru, Al HaYavonim, then this happened. But no mention of that at all. And then the other side of the coin is the tefillah that we have on Hanisim, which incidentally doesn't appear in the Gemara anywhere, and we're not sure exactly who wrote on Hanisim. Clearly it was written after the closing of the Gemara, probably the time of the Gonim, that somebody, that they wrote the Hanisim, and that became part of our... that's the reason, incidentally, everybody said, why? If you double Shimon Ezra, forget Hanisim, you don't go back. Why not? Because it's not in the Gemara. Because nowhere in the Gemara is a reference to the tefillah of Al-Hanisim, for Hanukkah. Right? So, but in Al-Hanisim, you find the exact opposite. That the only nace that is mentioned is the victory. Mosato, Giborim, Biad Haloshim, Rabbi Biad Ma'atim, Utmeim, Biad Terim, is the nace of the victory. And there's no mention of the nace of the Pachashem. Doesn't mention it anywhere. That they found oil, it lasted for 8 days, gurnished. It's all only about Muhammad's for Yeshua's. That's what it's about. So we have, in fact, two contradictory Makairas. One in Masechta Shabbos, only about the Ner, and one in Al-Hanisim, only about the Muhammad. Here's the Maharal. Obviously, the main nace was the nace of the Muhammad that saved Klal Yisrael from the persecution, saved Klal Yisrael from Torah being eradicated. Right, the Ramban writes that Lulei, that the Chashmonoim were Chasidei Elyoim, and without them, Lulei, hey, he says, Hoy ha Torah mishtakach mi Yisrael, says the Ramban. I bet it would have been Torah would have been forgotten in Klal Yisrael because the power of the Hellenist world was so overwhelming. So this was the achievement of Yehuda Maccabi and other Hashmonaim. We have a haftacha that it can't be forgotten. You're quite right. Okay, that's a Gemara. The Gemara discusses that. You're quite right. So it's ishtachach Torah Yisrael. Chas v'sholom ishtachach Torah Yisrael. But this is goofa part of the haftacha. The haftacha is that even in a generation where it looks like it's going to be forgotten, there will always be Yehuda Maccabees. There will be people around who will defend Torah. Incidentally, the word Maccabee itself is a bit of a mystery. Where does that come from, the word Maccabee? What does it mean, Maccabee? What do you say? Okay, so Mikubach Ben Hashem is an interesting Rashi Tavis, but what's that got to do with the Hanukkah story, and what's that got to do with the Maccabee, and why would he have said Dafka that Pasuk? Why didn't he say Korav Hashem Lechol Kairo, Lechol Hashem Kairo, the Emes? I mean, there are lots of things he could have said. Why Mikubach Ben Hashem? Doesn't make any sense, the Maccabee thing. I don't know where it comes from, but I've also heard that when I was a kid. But I saw the Chasam Sefer says a very poshut. He says in earlier times, people were called on the names of their parent, if their father was a Gadol b'Yisrael, right, or a father was well known, even in the Middle Ages, right, if someone's father was well known, so he was called Abramson. What is Abramson? It means the son of Abraham, right, or if somebody was called Isaacson, it's the son of Isaac. In other words, these were names, Jacobson, these were all, if somebody in the family was a Hoshava, a well known person, this person was named after the father. Says the Chasam Sefer that Yehuda Maccabee called himself Maccabee because Maccabee means Matisyahu Koyen Ben Yochanan. That's what it means. Men Kaf Beis Yud. Matisyahu Koyen Ben Yochanan was his father's name, and he wanted to tell everybody, I'm not just a regular Yehuda, I'm Yehuda, the son of the Maccabee, Matisyahu Koyen Ben Yochanan. And that's the origin, that's a Chasam Sefer, and that for me is the best interpretation of Maccabee. You can ask people tonight at the meal, what do you all think Maccabee means? And you'll see that people are a bit, right. Okay, so what does the Maral say? Yes, there is a suggestion that the word Maccabee is connected to a sledgehammer. Quite right. The Maral writes something very interesting. He says that's clear that Ikka Mashekovu Yemei Chanukah Bishvil Shehoyim Menatzchim Es Hayavanim, but he says there was a problem. The problem was Sheloi Hoyon Nire. It wasn't clear to people that the military victory was clearly the Yad Hashem. It could have been that Yehuda Maccabee and his boys were military geniuses, that they were just the Arik Sharons of the ancient world, and they managed to fight and to be successful, Rabbi Biad Ma'atim. Right? So maybe he was simply a freak of military history that he had managed to overcome the Yavonim. How did we know that this was Menashemai? Maybe this wasn't a nace worth celebrating with Halel Vahidah. Says Maral, it was a problem. I'd like to maybe just time permitting, just to explain a little bit of the deeper problem that Maral is dealing with, and that the battle of the Chashmonaim against the Avodim was very problematic from a Torah point of view at that time. If you would have been writing the editorial for the Hamodiyah at the time of the Battle of the Maccabim, what would you have said? You would have said, Hayitachem, that Koyanim take up arms and go into battle. We have a halacha that Koyanim are not allowed to fight. Koyanim are not allowed to fight. Koyanim are not allowed to come into contact with the mace at all. And they're not allowed to be part of the army. So why are Koyanim suddenly fighting? I'm sure that's what was said at the time. And this was a question. The second thing, the problem was, this was largely a civil war. Because it wasn't a battle so much against the Yevonim, against the Misyavnim. The enemy were the Hellenized Jews. And lots of the people who were killed in the Hanukkah story, this is not often spoken about, were the Hellenized Jews were killed. Because they were the most militant, and unfortunately is always the case, the Jews who become Hellenized, they were the most militant in trying to get the rest of the Jewish people to accept the Hellenist culture. And therefore, in fact, if you look at the Loshon of Al Nisim, it doesn't say anywhere Mosarto Goyim Biyad Yisrael. Yes. It's Tameim Biyad Tahorim, Roshoyim Biyad Tzadikim. The Loshon of Al Nisim is clear that it's not talking about Goyim against Yid. It's talking about Tameim Biyad Tahorim. And so there was a problem here, and it wasn't... So, indeed, a civil war in Klal Yisrael was also problematic. Okay, it's true that these Yidden had been misyavnim, they had assimilated and had gone off the derech, but is that the way to deal with it, to have a battle and kill them? This was also, I'm sure, the editorial of the Hamadiyya would have had a problem with that, not only the Kohanim, but also that. Secondly, and thirdly, and this is a problem that the Rishonim mentioned, the Ramban mentions it very dramatically, what did they do eventually when they won the battle? They set up a malchus of the Kohanim. And this was a major problem in Klal Yisrael. Like Yosef Shevet Yehuda, the Malchus wasn't supposed to be the Kohanim. It was supposed to be Yehuda. The Kohanim were the last people where the Malchus should be. And not only were they Kohanim, unfortunately they also became Tzedukim. The Malchus Chashmonaim was not something to write home about. Right? The last 200 years of Malchus in the Bayis Sheni, they were not, they were Rishayim. They were Tzedukim, not Purushim. Right? So there was a lot of question marks hanging over this military victory. So you might have thought, this was a freak. This was the battle of independence of the Zionists against the Arabs. Maybe this is not a Maisa Hashem. Maybe it's a different Maisa. Who knows? Says the Maharal, Klal Yisrael needed to have something happen which would be a hechsh on this battle. A siman min hashamayim, that this battle and this victory was the Ratzon Hashem, and that this was a maton of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that it wasn't just a freak military success. They needed a siman min hashamayim. It's a different answer to the answer of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz and the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua simply said it's a sign of chavivus. Maral says it's much more than that. Klal Yisrael were in doubt about the religious validity of this event as a general cause, a genuine cause for Halel v'Hodor. They didn't know, right? And therefore, they needed this as a special siman min hashamayim, right? That this would come as a lefikach nasa neis alei haneiros sheyedu hakol shehoyo neis min hashem. So it's a very beautiful idea that very often you have, and this is actually a much bigger sugya, again a subject for a different shiur, I've only got 2 minutes left. The Ramban says in a couple of places, famously particularly at the end of Parshas Bo'i, the Maral says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make so many nisim, geluyim, and yitzias mitzrayim? So he says, min hanisim hamafursomim odom moide benisim hanistor. He says, we have got nisim nistor. Every day we have nisecho shem chol yom imanu. Chol eis erev avokya v'tzorayim. We have nisim erev b'chol nashima or nashima. Every breath that we take, every bit of parnosa, every bit of health, every bit of hatzlacha, everything we have is a nais min hashamayim. Everything is a nais. Recently, Baram Leib Steinman sadly passed away. Yeah. And one of the stories told about him was that he was in hospital and he was 100 and whatever he was, right? No one has birth certificates from that generation, but let's say he was well over 100 and he was in hospital and the doctor says to him, Rabbi, you know, your survival is a miracle. So he's reported to have said to the doctors, he says, good news for you. He says, you think you're a younger man. He says, but your survival is also a miracle. As much as my survival is a miracle, your survival is a miracle. Our day to day, so this is, and it's very meduyuk actually, that we say al hamisim in the tefillah of Moedim, which is a haidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not on nisim lemala min ha-teva. It's on nisim which are b'secha shem chol yom imanu. The nisim nistorim is in Moedim. And that's why we say ala nisim in Moedim, because that was the hatzlacha of the Maccabim, Chashmonaim, was like a nes nister, was a nes in battle, which wasn't supernatural. But somehow there were so many question marks hanging over this victory, says the Maral, they needed like a little hechsh on it. A gushpanka from HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, you know what, this was a real nice. You shouldn't think this was Derech Olam. This was Nisim Nistari. And this is really the limud of Chanukah, and with this I'll finish. Bez Hashem, we should be able to see in all our lives, to see Nisim Nistorim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Shechiyonah.
Oh, right. So Shechiyonah, that's right. Very good. I'm just testing you to see whether you're awake or not. That the so why did the Marshal make twice Shechiyonah, says the Prima Godin? He made twice Shechiyonah because he said that the first day of Hanukkah is a celebration of the Neis Nitzachon. Is a celebration of the battle that we won.
Yes.
And only the rest of the days is on the Neis, because that's the kasha of the Beis Yosef. There really there was enough oil for one day. So it was only a Neis for 7 days.
Right.
There was enough oil for one day, right? The Neis was for 7 days. So the Neis of the oil was from 7 days. That started on day two. So what's the first day for? Said the Marshal, the first day is to celebrate Al Yeshua Secho, Al Niflei Secho, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves Klal Yisrael b'chol dor v'dor, and then he saved us, Rabbi Biad Ma'atim. Wish you all a Labor Day, a Hanukkah, and a Yom Tov.